Faith that obtains. And it's kind of part two, I guess, of Pastor Bob's message this morning. If you were here, I've had this for a while, this message stirring in my heart. And as Pastor preached that this morning, I just said, well, praise God, I'm ready with part two tonight. Because it goes right with that. It's a faith that obtains. And I wanted to talk to you about how to obtain by faith. We see that obedience, even simple obedience, can obtain. We saw that with Peter, how Jesus came to him and Jesus said, hey, let down your nets for a catch. And Peter said, man, we have fished all night and caught nothing. And I really don't believe that it's going to work. I really don't have faith enough to believe that anything's going to happen when I let down this net. Nevertheless, and that's sometimes where some people are, where they're nevertheless, Larry. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey. Yes, and he did, and you see, he reaped the harvest of obedience. And in the same way, whenever we see in the story of Naaman the leper, where he was told to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, he said, what good is that going to do? That's not going to do anything. That's pointless. That's ridiculous. It makes no sense. Nevertheless, I'm going to do it anyway just because you said to. And I trust that if I'll obey and do what God says to do, then he'll do what he said he will do.
That's good.
And so part of faith that obtains is just being obedient. Even if you don't have the faith to believe, if you can just obey God's word, that's faith. Amen? Even if you're doubting in your own heart. That's one way. Obedience. Simply obeying God. Being here tonight is an act of faith on your part. That God's going to speak to you tonight and give you a word that you need that's going to unlock something in your life, a key or potential that you have that God already has inside of you. It's already there. It's just a matter of obeying what God said to do. So obedience unlocks a key and obtains by faith. We've heard pastors say this many times, and I just can't get off of this, that grace makes things available. Grace makes it available. There's so much that is available to us by grace, but yet so many people don't have it in the natural. Why? Because they don't obtain it by faith. That's the balance of grace and faith. There is so much that is available to us in the Spirit, but how are we going to get a hold of it? It's going to take something on our part to grab it and to say, okay, I take it now. I'm going to take it right now. Matthew 9:27 says, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. I like to take that a little further to say, okay, Jesus left this area, I believe it was the area of Capernaum, and two blind men followed him. But I like to say two blind men pursued him. They took off after him. They pursued him. I mean, it's probably not easy for blind men to follow somebody that can see. So it obviously took some effort and it took some determination, but Jesus didn't go just a little ways. It says that he departed thence. Two blind men pursued him, crying and saying, thou, Son of David, have mercy on us. Faith that obtains is a faith that pursues. It's a faith that pursues. If you're going to pursue, you'll obtain. But if you won't pursue, you won't obtain what grace has made available. A lot of times people say, well, if God wants me to have this, he'll give it to me. He's already given it to you. He wants you to have it. It's your faith that now has to get involved and get activated in order to obtain what he's made available for you. Amen? So these blind men were following him, pursuing him, crying out. And it says, and when he was come into the house, so here's Jesus. Imagine this. He's walking into the house. He's not even paying attention to them. Now, most of the time, if that happened with us, we would get offended, we would get hurt, we would say, there's no sense he even went in the house. We might as well just leave. He's not paying attention to us. They followed him, crying out, and then he leaves that place as they're following him. He goes in the house. So you know what they did? They went in the house too. They went in the house too. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of faith that obtains, that won't take no for an answer, that says, I'm going to get what I came here for. I'm going to pursue. And yes, if you're not answering my phone call right away, you know what? I'm just going to call again later. I'm going to show up at church. I'm going to be here Sunday morning. I'm going to be sitting here. I'm going to come forward. I'm going to say, hey, will you pray for me? I've been calling you all week. And you say, yes, I know you have. I know you've been calling me all week. Yeah. Well, why didn't you answer my call? Well, I'm mad. I'm just not going to that church anymore. He's ignoring me. Not necessarily. Or if he is, maybe it's a God thing. I know too many times people give up too easy and they don't have faith that obtains. It takes determination to grab a hold of the things of God, doesn't it, Dr. Vaughn? To grab a hold of anything, doesn't it take determination? And it takes that I will not be denied spirit on the inside of you to do anything great. You've got to have that faith that obtains. And so they went into the house. Now look at this. This is interesting. They went into the house after him, and the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, believe you that I am able to do this? Now, do you believe that I'm able to do this? He was testing their faith, and he was seeing, do you really believe? Because it's one thing for somebody to say, hey, come on, please, if anybody needs healing, come on up right here now. Let me pray for you. Come on. Do you need healing? Now, I know you need healing. Come on, let me lay hands on you. You know what that tells me? You don't believe it would work. If you need healing, that tells me you don't believe it would work, or else you would be pursuing me, not me pursuing you. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's the same way with God. Faith is recognized by how a person pursues God. And if they're not pursuing God, there's a reason. They don't have faith to believe. He who comes to God must first of all believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Oh, yeah. I'm talking diligently. Not just a, oh, well, yeah, okay, well, he told me 5 times to come forward. I guess I will. Maybe I'll get healed this time, but I doubt it. Come on, I'm talking about a faith that pursues and that says, I really believe, and I'm going to go get that thing. And so Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, not according to grace, not according to my power or what I've made available. It is that, but it's also according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. Now, some people don't like this because it puts some kind of demand on us. And again, it takes away the well, if God wants me to have it, then I'll have it. If God wants me rich, then I'll be rich. No, you got to go out and obtain it. He gives you the power to get wealth. He doesn't give you the wealth. And so you got to, by faith, obtain that. And I want to stir up people's faith tonight to ask you, what are you pursuing Jesus for? What are you diligently seeking him for? And whatever it is, be it unto you tonight. Isaiah 46:9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God will do his pleasure. And so you say, well, what is God's pleasure? Let me tell you what his pleasure is. This is what Jesus said, okay? I think the Son of God would know what the Father's pleasure is. Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's trying to stir their faith. He's trying to say, listen, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. It's God's good pleasure. He takes joy. And that's what really pleases God, is getting you the things that you desire. He wants you to have it more than you want to have it. And He's made more available to us than we may ever know through the blood of Jesus Christ and by grace. So, how do we obtain it? We've got to believe and trust that God is a good, good Father. You know that song we sing? He's a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. I'm the loved of God. And He is perfect in all of His ways. He is perfect in all of His ways. He's perfect. And therefore, I could never get mad at God, because God does not make a mistake. Why could I ever get mad at God as if He ever did anything wrong? You know, that's one thing I love about Job. And a lot of people argue and debate over Job. What's that whole book about, and what's it all about? I think one thing I notice about Job that I love, and I also notice this about David, was that they did not get mad at God at any time. Where they weren't like, God, why did you do this to me? They weren't like, it's God's fault that this happened. No, David said, hey, I know whose fault it is. It's anybody's fault but God's. Because God is perfect. And the Bible says that Job sinned not with his lips. Meaning that he didn't accuse God of wrongdoing. That's awesome. That's pretty powerful. And I would say, if you have, yes, God still loves you. Yes, He wants you to come back to Him. But just repent and quit being mad at God. Because your anger is focused in the wrong direction. Get mad at the devil. He's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Some people say, yeah, but God allowed it. No, it could be that maybe your anger toward God allowed it. Could be that your fear allowed it. See, some people say God can do anything. He can, but He can't go against His own word. And when we hold God in a position where He would have to go against His word to save us, He can and will not do it. So there's always a reason, and some things we may never know till we get to heaven. But we do know this. This much I do know. God is not the one that's wrong. God's not the one that makes a mistake. And therefore, I love Him. I serve Him. And I trust Him in everything that He says and everything that He does. Every word from God is true. He's a good, good Father. And it's His pleasure to give me the kingdom. He wants me to be in the kingdom of God. He wants me to be in His presence. He wants me to be where He is. He really wants me to pursue Him. Have you ever been somewhere and you've kind of felt like you weren't wanted? Or maybe you were wondering if I'm really supposed to be here? As a kid, I felt that way a lot. Because I would get myself in places many times where I probably didn't belong. I was a curious kid sometimes, Pastor Bob. I wanted to see, what's going on in there? So I would go. I remember one time my brother and I, we were at the Amon Carter Exhibits Hall, and we thought, hey, let's go over there. We had been at the museum. We said, let's go see what's over there. So we went walking over there, and we're looking around. We walk in this room, and there was this, as far as you could see, all these ladies doing quilts. It was like a grandma convention. And they're all quilting. And I said, whoa, look at this. And I'll never forget, this guy comes in and goes, can I help you, boys? And I said, oh, no, thanks. We're just looking around. He goes, out. 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 And I was like, oh, let's get out of here. We don't, obviously, grandma's only. I got the hint real quick. I'm not welcome there. I'm not supposed to be there. They don't want me there. Yeah. Although I'm sure any one of those grandmas would have loved to have me there. The children tried to come to Jesus, and the disciples were saying, out, 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 go, go, go. And what did He say? Hey, whoa, let them come to me. Man, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is how people in the kingdom of God are. Man, let me tell you about my dad. He's a good, good father. Oh, he loves kids. You know what? In fact, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. They're innocent in heaven. The people are honest in heaven. There's no guile in people in heaven. It's a wonderful place. Everyone is just as innocent as children. It's wonderful. Bring the kids to me. Come here, kids. And he picks them up in his hand and he blesses them. It wasn't out. That's not how God is with anything that we desire of him. He's like, no, hey, whoa. What do you think? You're going to be blessed? Come on. You think you deserve that? No, go. That's not God. You're not old enough for that. Get out of here. No. You're not wise enough. You're not smart enough. Whatever it is, whatever thing that has held you back or kept you from receiving or obtaining what God has for you, get that out of your mind, because God is not holding anything back from you. He wants you to have it, even children. So, children, they don't know the rules yet. And many times the rules kind of keep us from receiving what God has for us. Or the things that we have experienced. We see how Peter said, Lord, we've fished all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, I'll do it. His experience almost kept him from obtaining what God had for him. Because he said, we've tried and tried and tried and tried, and it hasn't worked. Kids don't know that. They say, okay. They just do what you tell them to do. They don't know it won't work, and so they do it. And Jesus said, if you're going to come to me, you have to have the faith like a little child. A faith that obtains is a faith of a little child. That isn't based on the rules or experience, because they haven't learned those yet. You know, I was speaking of a place I was where I felt like I was not welcomed. It was in the Great Jerusalem Synagogue in Jerusalem. I happened to go on the Sabbath one time. And I'm telling you, the spirit that put Jesus on the cross is still there to this day in some places. But the same spirit that anointed his body with spices, the same spirit that put his body in a tomb, and the same spirit of his disciples is also there. The same spirit of the shepherd boys that were watching their flocks by night is still there. And so I came in the Great Jerusalem Synagogue, and I remember sitting there, and I didn't know the rules. Unfortunately, I was a little bit too childlike in this case. And I didn't know that you're not supposed to tear anything. You're not supposed to even have a pen on the Sabbath. And so here I sit down in church in the back row. I've got my hat on. So I thought, I'm good. I've got a hat on in church. That's what the way they do it in Israel. Not like home, not like Texas. You take your hat off here, you put it on there. I thought I had it down. And then I remember seeing this little kid there, and everybody just seemed so mean and just so angry and everything. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I saw this little child, and this little kid came and he sat down right by me, and he looked up at me and just smiled with his little yarmulke on. And I thought, aw, what a sweet little kid. Man, now I know why Jesus loved the little children. Because they just love everybody. Hey, I just want to come sit by you. I want to make you feel welcome. And so I took a piece of paper out and I tore off a piece and I took out my pen and I started drawing a little cartoon for the kid. And I'm telling you, I never saw ushers move faster. You would have thought I lit up marijuana or something. I mean, ushers were like, ugh. And this guy goes, man, out of here. And I was like, I better get out. I was like, hey, see ya, kid. I'm out of here. And I just want to give him some money. I just bless him with some money. Here's some money. I've got to go. I don't know what I'm in trouble for, because it's all in Hebrew, but I better leave. But a faith that obtains is a childlike faith that says, hey, you know what? You're loved. And in God's eyes, you can do no wrong. And I know in man's eyes, yes, you can. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. I understand that. But with God, I think so many times people, they judge themselves worse than what God judged them. And they say, no, I don't deserve that because I've been bad. And God says, come on, you've all been bad. What do you mean you've been bad? As if no one else has on the planet? He says, yes, you have. In fact, you've all been so bad that you all fall very far short of the glory of God. Nevertheless, I want to bless you, and I want to love you, and I want to give to you. And so don't judge yourself more harsh than God judges you. When he says it's not according to your work, just come obtain it. Come get what is yours. Come to God as his child. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us into the adoption of children. God's made us his children by Christ Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, it's God's good pleasure for you to be his kid and for him to pour out his love on you in every way possible. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. I mean, your dad is better than Donald Trump. In every way. Donald Trump is a pauper compared to God. Bill Gates, whoever the richest people are these days. I think the richest man in the world's in Mexico City. Whoever he is, God's richer than him. His mansion to God looks like a mud hut does to us. Nothing. So, God's good pleasure of his will to adopt us to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So grace has made us accepted in the beloved. So we know that that's available to us. But it's now our job and our responsibility to pursue that and to go get it. Remember in the promised land when God said, there's a promised land for you. Now it's yours. Go get it. And then they didn't realize they were going to have some kind of faith to go obtain what God had made available for them. But listen, God is not the God that says, here you go, here you go. And when you go for it, he goes, oh, no. Oh, no. No. I was showing it to you, but you can't have it. That's not God. The only thing that keeps you from obtaining what God has shown you is your disobedience and your unbelief. Remember the guy who said, if they open windows in heaven, that couldn't happen. And God said, then you're going to see it, but you won't get it. Remember the people when they came back and they said, we've seen the promised land, it was wonderful, but we can't have it. Why? Because of their unbelief. They didn't obtain what God had made available by his grace. And how many times do we fall short of obtaining what God has for us through our unbelief? Absolutely. And saying, you know what? Yeah, there's some obtaining to do, but we're going to obtain it. Yeah, there's some work, but I can't wait to see how God's going to do this. I love that what Sister Joy used to always say when she would look at Pastor Bob and say, well, I can't wait to see how God's going to do it today. I can't wait to see how God's going to do it this morning because they needed a miracle. And I'm telling you, we still need miracles in this church. And I'm excited to be here at this time and to be one that says, ooh, I can't wait to see how God's going to do it this time. I can't wait to be part of the miracle story this time. Hallelujah. I finally get to be here whenever a miracle happens to see it, and I can't wait to see how God's going to do it. I have no doubt in my mind he's going to do it. Miracles will happen. When you have that kind of faith and belief. Thank you, Lord. So, you've been accepted, you've been chosen, and he's made it available according to your faith, be it unto you. I don't know, something I think God has blessed me with is an ability to see myself in the Word of God through the Bible stories. And I see myself so many times in situations and in miracles where I said, hey, God did it like that for them. God's going to do something like that for me. And I look at the Bible, I read the stories about Abraham, about Joseph, about David, about these guys. And I say, you know what? God was faithful to him. God's going to be faithful to me. And I remember when I was single for a number of years and I was believing God for a wife. And I saw how God got Isaac his wife. And I said, you know, God, if you could get Isaac a wife like that, you can get a wife for me. And people actually told me, now, do you really think you're like Isaac? I mean, come on. Look at you. And I said, well, when I get married, I want to marry somebody that I can say is the most beautiful woman in the world. And so that's right, Pastor Bob said, that's faith. And somebody said, well, you got to be realistic, Dan. I mean, look at you. There will always be people there to tear down your faith. But you know what? The other day, Ashley was going to Walmart, and she left her phone at home, and I couldn't get a hold of her. And so I called Walmart, and I called the pharmacy where she was going, and I said, hey, will you give my wife a message? And he said, well, what's her name? I told her. He said, well, what does she look like? And I said, just look for the most beautiful woman you've ever seen in your life, and that's her. I didn't know how else to describe her. And when she walked into the pharmacy, the guy saw her and said, hey, are you Ashley? That must be you. We saw him again the other day in the automotive department. I did eat good now. Oh, I tell you what, that was awesome. I said, yes. She was the talk of the pharmacy that day. He knew who she was. I'm just saying, I've been blessed. I've seen this work. I'm not telling you something I've never experienced or seen work for me. I'm not telling you some dream that I've had that's never come to pass, or things that have never happened, or things that God promised that I've never experienced in my life, that I've never seen a miracle. I've seen some amazing miracles. I've seen people with crooked eyes instantly straight and stay straight for over 30 years and still going. I've seen people with a separated shoulder. One of the greatest miracles I saw was on a ski trip one year where this kid had separated his shoulder, and David King prayed for him. And I was in the clinic with him, and it hurt him to even move at all. And I saw this kid punched David in the arm so far hard I thought I was going to separate David's shoulder. And he was healed. Hallelujah. I've seen some amazing miracles. I've seen God's divine appointments, God's divine connections. I've seen him tell me, go somewhere. I went somewhere and there was somebody there that needed something and I met them. I could tell you story after story. I want to encourage your faith, but I don't have time to tell stories all night. But you've got to realize that God accepts you and that God has your story in here. And that, yes, you are a one-of-a-kind individual, and God has a special Bible story for you to live out in your life. Hallelujah. And so identify with the people in this Bible. That's why God gave them to us, to be examples to us of this is what I want for you. This is how you can live. This is how I don't want you to live. And so get a hold of that faith that obtains, that what God did for David, God can do for you. You can kill those giants. You can stand on the body of that giant and chop its head off, and it'll never come after you again. And if any brothers try to come after them, then God's going to raise up people to kill them too. I'm telling you. It's God's word. It's true. But if you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't believe that you're accepted, if you don't believe that, yes, God really does have a wonderful plan for my life, then you're going to feel rejected by God. As Jesus walked into that house and left those guys following him, you're going to feel rejected and say, ah, I'm rejected. That hurt my feelings. Get over your feelings. And so much of healing needs to take place from rejection. A lot of us have faced rejection in our life, maybe rejected by a parent. There's healing that needs to take place in your life. Maybe nobody picked you to be on their team at school when you were a kid. I didn't get accepted in the college I wanted to go to. I didn't get the job I wanted, didn't pass the entrance exam, didn't qualify. I wasn't the right color. Sometimes we face rejection for whatever reason. Some of them seem legitimate, some of them are totally illegitimate. You were wronged. You were rejected wrongfully. But that's no reason not to obtain what God has for you. Amen? Amen? Don't let something as petty as racism keep you back from what God has for you. You go and obtain what God says you can have. And what God says you can have, it doesn't matter if every person on the planet is against you. You can have what God says you can have. I mean, it's one, some people say, well, but I'm a minority. You think David was not a minority when even his own men wanted to kill him? The only people that did not want to kill David was him. Talk about a minority. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And God turned that situation around for him. Amen? Come on. Amen. Don't let rejection cause you to fall short of what God has made available for you to obtain, because you are the right person in Jesus Christ. You are amazingly and beautifully created. You're God's child. You've been picked to be part of His team. Who cares what the kids in school pick? Well, fact is, God has picked you. It's His good pleasure for Him to give you the kingdom. God has a job for you. You've been accepted in the body of Christ. The entrance exam is one question, yes or no. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Yes or no? That's the entrance exam. Say yes. We had Dr. Vaughn came and spoke to the youth the other night, and it was such a blessing. I had one of the youth say that was one of their favorite youth services they'd ever had, ever been to. And she talked about how she showed the circle with the throne in the middle and said, this is, the S means self. And there are so many people that have self on the throne, and God is out here somewhere, either outside the circle or somewhere in the outer edges of the circle. And if you'll take yourself off the throne and put God on the throne, she was talking about how one time years ago, she had this described and explained to her in such a simple way that she just thought, well, of course, why wouldn't I pick God on the throne of my life when all the blessings come with Him? And if I put myself on the throne, none of the blessings come with that. She said, well, of course, that's a no-brainer. Of course I'm going to put God on the throne of my life. I said, hey, that's wisdom. Young people need to hear that. Yes, you will be blessed if you follow after God. I've been praying my whole life, Lord, bless me just so I can show people that what I've been preaching is true. But even if it didn't look that way, it would still be true. Because there are a lot of times it doesn't look that way. And you're in the becoming process. There were a lot of times it looked like I wasn't getting a wife. Much less a pretty one. There were times in my life it didn't look like I was going to succeed. In fact, it looked really bad. There were times it looked like I was going to die. It looked like we weren't going to get the house that we wanted. It looked like we weren't going to get the car that we were told. God spoke to us and said, you're going to get this. It looked like we weren't going to. That's when you stay faithful to God and say, Lord, I don't care how it looks. I'm still trusting you that all things are going to work together for good to those that love you and are the called according to your purpose. I love you and I am the called according to your purpose. So therefore I know it's going to happen. I know it shall come to pass. Not might be, not maybe, not I hope so, but shall come to pass. When you are settled like that, just watch. That's a stock to invest in because it's going up. No matter what it looks like. Invest now into that person. Because when you got a person with unshakable faith, I promise you, you might as well stand with Joshua because he's going into the promised land. You can count on it. You might as well stand with Caleb because he's going to have that mountain. Amen? So, Matthew 8:5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now, you got to realize, here comes this Roman centurion who was like the Gestapo of our day, right? They were the oppressors. In fact, a centurion, they carried these sticks, these rods, and a centurion was the only person that could legally beat even a Roman citizen into submission. Roman citizens could not be beat legally except by a centurion with his staff, with his rod. And so they were men of discipline. They would beat the soldiers. They would beat anybody that didn't do what they told them. And so here comes this man, not necessarily a great man or a righteous man or a good man, but he comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, come heal my servant because he's sick." And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." He said, "Wait, I'm not even worthy that you would come into my house. But if you'll speak the word only, my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "Whoa, I have never..." Now get this, this is pretty amazing for Jesus himself to say, "I have never seen faith this great. Not even in Israel have I seen faith like this." So this man was operating on a level of faith that was beyond anything on earth. How was he doing this? It wasn't necessarily because he was such a loving, kind, gentle, awesome, wonderful person. It wasn't even because he was a nice guy. He probably said some things that were very mean, harsh, and beat some people that you'd be like, "Man, that guy ain't getting nothing from God. Look at the way he acts." But yet Jesus said, "According to your faith, so be it unto you. Go your way, your servant's healed." And he was healed that selfsame hour. And because the man said, "Listen, if you'll speak the word, I know my servant will be healed. Because I'm a man with soldiers under me. I say to this one, do it, and he does it. I tell that one to come, he comes. I tell that one, go, and he goes. And the same way, if you'll speak the word, I know my servant will be healed." Because he recognized Jesus had authority, and he believed in the power of words. Faith that obtains believes in the power of words. Faith that obtains will do whatever it takes to get the job done. And Jesus marveled at this man's faith and said he had great faith. And he got what he came there for. And so, in the same way, many times I think we're just too nice to the devil. I think we're just too nice in circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about being mean, and I'm not going to start carrying a stick and beating people with it. Although Jesus ran some people out of the temple. Again, there wouldn't be many people go to Jesus' church after that. Say, "Man, I don't know. Pastor Bob went down to the convention and beat everybody up and flipped their tables over, and it was on the news." Imagine Paul, Apostle Paul, being his followers. It was a challenge. Any great man of God, it's going to take some faith to follow and to say, "You know what, I trust." Now, Pastor Bob, I've never known him to do anything to hurt anyone unless they hit him. And I'll tell you something I've noticed about Pastor Bob, which I've noticed too, they used to say about Ronald Reagan. And he would say he's like a, and I believe this is the same way with Jesus. He was gentle Jesus, loved the children. He was like a velvet pillow with a metal bar inside. And they said you could touch him, he was soft to the touch, gentle. But if you hit him, it would hurt you. And I'm telling you, when the devil hits you, it should hurt him. Amen? When he hits you, it should hurt him, not you. And it should backfire on him. Amen? And say, "Okay, devil, that's it." I think I've heard pastors say this too, that the only time he felt sorry for the devil was when Joy was praying. David King's mother, when she would pray, "Look out, devil." I'm telling you, she would get violent in prayer. You could hear her outside the house. And they had a brick house when she would pray, but yet as gentle as could be, as sweet as could be toward people, but not toward sickness, not toward anything that's going to try to keep me from obtaining what God says is mine. God's not a respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of faith. See, that's what that story shows us. This guy, you would think he wasn't a Jew. He had no right to receive anything from Jesus. What is this guy? Who does he think he is? And yet he says, will you come? Will you heal my servant? And he says, I have faith. And Jesus said, there you go, according to your faith. And so I would say, where is your faith tonight? What are you believing God for? What do you believe Jesus is able to do for you and willing to do for you? When at any time in the Bible did anybody ever come to Jesus and say, if it's your will, then let this happen? He said, no, it's not my will. Never. Not once did he not heal somebody because he said, no, it's not my will to heal you. Now, there might have been times that he walked away. But let me tell you, when God seemingly walks away from you, don't say, I'm rejected. Don't say, oh, it's not his will. That means pursue him. Go after him. Chase him. Seek the Lord. Believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Don't run away from God. Run to God. And so we see that case sometimes, like the time when God said, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And he called the lady a dog. And I always thought, God, why did you do that? Jesus, why did you call the lady? I mean, isn't that kind of mean? But she said, but yes, Lord, she didn't let offense, a wall, an offense, get between her and what she needed to obtain with God. And she said, yes, but God, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And he said, lady, for this saying, you're going to have what you want. You got it. I see your faith there. You're pursuing. You're desiring. You're coming after it. And I've never seen anybody that came after God. The Bible says there's no way he'll cast you out. No way. Keep pursuing. Matthew 8:6, we're about to wrap it up here, getting close. I was talking to Billy Rogers the other day, and many of you know Billy Rogers. He goes to church here. And we were talking about how blessed he is, how blessed his life is, how blessed his family is. And I saw a time, there have been times in his life where it would have been a big temptation for him to leave the church, for him to take off, or for him to go do whatever, or get offended for whatever reason, or just leave. But he didn't, and he stuck with it. And he said, you know what? He said, I don't know why I'm so blessed. He started telling me about his life. I didn't know his testimony. He was one of the biggest heathens in this church. And he said, you know what? He told me, listen, I know God can bless anybody because he blessed me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to say that next time I preach. That if God can bless Billy Rogers, he can bless anybody here. I'm telling you, if God can bless Billy Rogers, then he can bless anybody in this room, anybody in this church. And I only say that because he said it himself. He's amazed by the fact. But you know what? His faith obtained what God made available for him. And he didn't give up, and he's pursued God. He's followed after. Matthew 8:6, and saying, Lord, oh, we read that story already, that verse. But look here in verse 12. I'm sorry, look at verse 11. After he said, I've not found so great faith in all of Israel, Matthew 8:11, he said unto them, that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That's good news. That's a promise to us. That's how you know the same blessings of Israel are upon you. The same blessings of the Jews are on you. Promise. He said people will come from the east and the west. Hey, we're the west. This is where the west begins. And will come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to be, okay, Jews only here. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob aren't going to be like, okay, Jews only. All right, y'all are my peeps. The rest of y'all stay out there and you're part of heaven. You go to the American part of heaven. No, he said many people will come from the east and west and sit. with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was amazed at this guy's faith as a Gentile, and he said the children of Israel will be cast out if they don't receive this. There will be many that are not Jews that will receive this, and they'll be sitting right with us in heaven. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as thou hast believed. Again, that's the key. As you have believed, so be it unto you. As you have believed it, that's what you're getting. And his servant was healed. Now look at this in verse 14. Then when Jesus was come into Peter's house the same day, he saw his wife's mother laid sick with a fever. He just touched her hand. Jesus just came up and touched her hand. And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered to them. Jesus can do it so many ways. I say, according to your faith, so be it unto you. If you believe hands are laid on you, you'll be healed, then you'll be healed. If you believe, hey, speak the word and I'll be healed, then we'll speak the word and you'll be healed. According to your faith, so be it unto you. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, everybody listen, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Himself. Why do you have it? Why are you sick? Why do you have an infirmity? Jesus himself took that. Now, if Jesus was here in his physical body that went up to heaven, and he came and he laid his hand on you, do you believe you would be healed if you were sick? Yes. Any doubt? No. He himself, now listen, himself said, I'm not there in my physical body, so I'm going to put myself in you, and you lay hand on the sick, and they shall recover, and that's how I'm going to do it. Would you believe that? And yet many don't. That's why they don't come forward. Because if Jesus was here in his physical body and he said, anybody come up here, I'm going to lay hands on you and you'll be healed. There would be people that said, oh yeah, I forgot. I had a wart on the back of my ankle from 50 years ago. I'm going to go get that healed. There would be people thinking of things. Wait a second. Oh, yeah, I need healing of this. I'm going to go because I believe Jesus is going to heal me of all my diseases, of every sickness. And it's according to your faith, so be it unto you. And so many times we have healing lines or, hey, anybody need healing? Come up here and receive your healing. And people just sit there and you know they're hurting. Well, I've gone forward 15 times and it didn't happen, so I don't think it's going to happen this time either. I have no more faith in the power of Dan than I do in the power of David or Pastor Bob. Well, if David King couldn't do it, ain't no way Dan Kraft can do it. Let me tell you, I didn't take your sickness. I didn't bear your infirmities. Himself took your sicknesses. I'm not healing you. David's not healing you. Pastor Bob's not healing you. Why are you looking at a man? But Jesus said, if that man lays hands on you, you shall be healed. Take Jesus' word for it. Amen? Say, you know what? That's right. That makes sense. I get that. Faith is building in my heart to believe that. And again, I might be the Jordan River of healing for you. To where you're like, what, Dan Kraft? That guy? Come on, there are so many more anointed people, God, that you could have lay hands on me and I would be healed. Why him? Because I said, that's why. I said, believers lay hands on the sick and they shall, not might, but shall recover. And that's how I want you to receive your healing. And now you're going to have to be obedient. Even if you don't believe, if you'll obey, watch what happens. I hope somebody's faith is being built tonight to receive healing for something that you haven't had in a long time. Don't cast your cares on me. Cast all your cares on Him. Because He cares for you. And He is our peace. He's broken down every wall. If musicians would come on up. He's broken down every wall in our life. Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 11. It says that in verse, the next verse is there. He is our peace. He's broken down every wall in our life that would separate us from anything that we need to obtain. Hallelujah. Do we have any kids here tonight? We have a couple here. Hey, Bennett, Jack, can y'all come up here real quick? Y'all come up here real quick. I want y'all to make a wall for me right here. You're going to make a wall. Levi, come over here. Come on over here, buddy. You're going to help me in an illustration here. I need a wall going about like right here. Can y'all be a wall for me right there? All right. All right. Here comes Kate, too. Stand right there by Sarah. All right. Now, Levi, you get right there. All right. Now, listen. I want to get to what God has for me, but I can't get through because there's a wall here. Right? But the Bible says that Jesus has come, and He has broken down every wall. Y'all turn around real quick. Y'all turn around. We're going to face it this way. I want the camera to be able to see them. So I'm coming and I'm running at this wall as hard as I can, and boom, I can't get through. First of all, I'm not Jewish. It's a problem. I can't get through that wall. And what I want from Jesus is out of reach. It's not obtainable. That's the way it used to be. Why do we still live like it's that way? But what has happened is Jesus came and Jesus broke down every wall. Whoa, looky there. And now we can come through. We can come through and obtain what God made available for us. Good job, kids. Let's give these kids a big hand. All right. Good job. Y'all can go back to your seat. All right. He broke down the wall so that we could get what God wants us to have. And yet we stand there as if that wall is still there. Even, and I'll say this, even when it comes to things that are to Jews, we still in the body of Christ think, well, but those are the Jews. The Jews get that, but we don't. Not according to my Bible. Everything that's available to them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I mean, how much more Jewish can you get? Think about it. Jacob's name is Israel. No wall. Nothing separating you from receiving what God wants you to have. So I want everyone to just bow your head real quick. I want to ask anybody here, I don't want to take for granted and just assume that everyone here is born again and has received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. You know, it's great to obtain things and to get things, but the greatest thing that you can obtain by faith is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier, every one of us has sinned. In fact, we've all sinned so bad that we don't even come close to obtaining in our own righteousness. And I know so many people think, well, when I clean myself up, then I'm going to come to God. That's like saying, well, as soon as I get clean, then I'll go take a shower. No, you come to Jesus as you are, and He takes care of all that. But He's broken down the wall, and all you got to do is say yes. You just have to pass the entrance exam. Yes, Lord. So if you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus as Lord of your life, or maybe you're here tonight and it seems like there have been walls that have kept you back from what God has for you, and you say, by faith, I want to obtain what Jesus has made available for me. I want the salvation that Jesus has for me. And the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord now shall be saved. North, south, east, west, doesn't matter who you are, where you came from. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not maybe, not I hope so, but shall be. And so you say, how do I obtain that? It's a simple act of faith, obedience. And let me tell you how you do that. All you do is you respond to what God says to do. And so I'm going to ask you right now, under the unction of the Spirit of the Lord, if you're here tonight and you say, I want to ask Jesus into my heart, or I want to come back to God, or I just want the assurance of my salvation to know for sure that everything is right between me and God, I want you to just lift your hand right now and say, pray for me. Just lift it up high and say, pray for me. And in doing that, you're saying, I believe what you say, and I want to receive that gift of salvation. Again, I don't want to assume that everyone is right with God in case there's anyone here that is not. That you say, yes, I want to receive that. Anyone over here in this section? Anyone over here in this section? Just wave your hand at me. You say, hey, yeah. Anybody over here? All right, no one over there. Maybe if you're watching online, somebody's watching online. Maybe this message has resonated with you in a powerful way. I just encourage you to lift your hands right where you are. Jesus spoke the word, and it happened. In the same way, and this is what's so cool, and God, He works in ways that are beyond our even understanding. It's called quantum physics. Man tries to understand quantum physics. That says Jesus can speak a word here at this place and you can be healed at that time and place that you are right now watching this. How does that happen? I don't know, except according to your faith, so be it unto you. And so if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, wash me, cleanse me, set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I do believe you are risen from the dead and you're coming back for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost. Give me a hunger to pursue God and the things of God. I am saved. I am born again. I am forgiven, and I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Amen. Amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer, I'm telling you that all your sins are forgiven. According to God's word, you have everything that He says is yours. You don't have to wait until you're a certain level to receive what God has for you. In fact, it's time for a baby shower. Babies get blessed. Even if you're a babe in Christ, get ready. God's going to have a baby shower. He showers blessings on you. And so this is what I want us to do. Let's all stand just for a moment. I want us to sing this song, He is Our Peace. But as we sing this song, I want to give an invitation again just to lay hands on people to obtain what God says you can have. Whether it's healing in your body, maybe you say, you know what, I should have gone forward before, but you know what, I didn't and I want to do that now. Or maybe you're here tonight, you say, you know what, there's something I've been wanting to obtain, but I just now realize it's going to take some action on my part, and I want to, as a faith act of my will, I'm going to come forward and have hands laid on me. and believe that the second hands are laid on you, that you receive what God says is yours. Hallelujah. So if that's you, I want you, while we sing this song, just come forward, stand here and sing this song with us. Lift your hands as soon as hands are laid on you. Receive it. Let's go ahead and sing.
He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace.
Yes, He is.
He is our peace. Our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace.
Come on, cast all your cares.
Cast all your cares.